For decades before the rise of rock and roll, posters were widely used to promote and advocate for social justice causes. But in the middle of the 20th century, that came to an abrupt halt.
Right at the end of World War II, and for pretty much 20 years, there was a dark period where people did not make public political posters because it was dangerous. McCarthyism, the Cold War, that particular medium dropped off. And so you'll find that the civil rights movement or even the free speech movement, posters were not a dominant medium.
Lionel Cushing, an East Bay librarian and historian of social justice posters, says that changed again in the 1960s when strange and visually arresting posters became the vehicle of choice to promote rock concerts at San Francisco venues.
They were colorful, they were iconoclastic, and they broke the ice for this whole medium that had basically gone underground for 20 years. And so all of a sudden, the people who were doing political work jumped on board, and there became this proliferation of political posters as well as counterculture posters.
It helped, of course, that there was a lot of overlap in the intended audience for both kinds of messages. There was also a lot of overlap within the counterculture media as well.
You had a lot of underground newspapers telling news in a way and telling content that wasn't being expressed by the mainstream media. You had underground comics coming to the fore where people were seeing crazy, wild stuff that they'd never seen before. You had a whole mural movement that was exploding. You had all these different visual forms that intersected, and posters were one of the ways that these images got put up on the wall in front of the public.
Posters, like newspapers and comics, were rarely created to endure. But a Berkeley activist named Michael Rossman began collecting them, thinking the events, issues, and messages they documented held educational value. He wound up with 24,000 of them from all over the world.
There are posters from Cuba in the collection. There are posters from China, from Europe. But the bulk of the collection is United States, and the bulk of United States material is West Coast, and the bulk of that is the Bay Area.
But Cushing, who has curated museum exhibits, published a book, and does public presentations, all drawn from the Rossman collection, says its San Francisco area emphasis is due to more than geographical proximity.
The Bay Area really was an epicenter for this movement. Posters came out in huge quantities from various sources in the Bay Area, starting in the mid-60s and continuing to now. We have set the pace for this particular democratic medium that has become known all over the world.
The Rossman poster collection, focused on social issues, not music, straddles the realm between memory and history, scholarship and nostalgia. But even though many of the documents themselves are now 40 years old or more, Cushing says they still hold direct links to the present.
A lot of the artists that were making really great, powerful posters in 1969, Emery Douglas and Malachias Montoya and Rupert Garcia and Nancy Hom, these people are still making posters. They're very committed people. This community is very supportive of that kind of work. And these issues don't go away.
I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.